On today's episode of Beyond the Arc, episode 70, milestone episode here. A lot to discuss as well. I know we're a little late into the week. Happy Thursday. But we have to recap the wild weekend in college basketball, where there were a lot of ranked teams going down, including number one Purdue. But somehow they kept the number one spot in the AP rankings. So yeah, we're going to talk about the crazy weekend in college basketball. Is anybody safe? I don't think so, because it is completely up for grabs right now. Very wide open in college basketball. This could be one of the craziest NCAA tournaments that we have ever seen. Just literally anybody can go on a run and anybody can go on a tear and win it. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. Just because it recently happened, we have to talk about my North Carolina Tar Heels. The Bubble Boys are back. It's official. Three-game losing streak for the Tar Heels. And things are not looking good for the once preseason number one team in the country. Gone from number one to firmly on the bubble and could miss the NCAA tournament with the stretch that they have coming up with how they've been playing. Don't have an identity. Chemistry is way off. Just doesn't look good right now. So we're going to talk about that as well, and a lot more NCAA March Madness talk as we get closer and closer to March. It's getting closer day by day. We're going to break down some seed lines, teams to look out for, stuff like that. And I'll even give you, I guess season's already kind of almost over, but we're still kind of in the midway part of it. But I'm calling it my mid-season Final Four prediction. Way too early. We still got a lot of basketball to be played, but I'm going to give it to you just for fun. Why not? So, yeah, let's go.
If you like dropping bombs from downtown, you've come to the right place.
Ahead to Curry. Curry sets, fires, puts it up. Bang! Steph Curry from way downtown.
Get ready for all things basketball.
Let it rain!
Where the hot takes get even hotter.
He's on fire!
This is Beyond the Arc with Jacob Reimer.
All right, everyone. Welcome back for another episode of Beyond the Arc. I'm your host, Jacob Reimer. And as you heard in the intro, milestone episode here, episode 70. We've made it a long way. Can't believe it. What, 2 years? 2 years strong now, I think. Right around this time is when I started it. It was my first episode I did was for the North Carolina Duke game. Back in, 2021 when I first started. I was still in school. And here we are, trying to continue to grow and continue to find our way into this thing, this podcasting biz, and 70 episodes strong, man. Kind of surreal. We're up there. We're getting closer and closer to 100. That day is going to be very weird. But, yeah, we're getting right around the two-year mark of the startup of this podcast. So we're gonna dive into it here today. Wild weekend, past weekend in college basketball. It is already almost the weekend, and we just haven't had the chance to record yet until now. And the past weekend in college basketball was insane. It showed a lot for the upcoming month, which is the craziest month of the year, March Madness. There was eight of the ranked teams, AP top 25 teams, took a loss on Saturday. And yes, some of them played ranked opponents as well, so I mean that didn't affect it that much, but still, eight ranked teams losing in one day is a lot. That goes a long way, because especially some of the teams where they rank at, it goes a long way with March Madness, with seeding, trying to get a high seed, and trying to figure out who is kind of pulling away from the pack and who is presenting themselves as a true contender, a true favorite, and the way teams can score the ball, the way teams can defend, stuff like that here down the stretch of the season. Teams fighting to get in, fighting for seeding, stuff like that. But yeah, we had Wild Weekend, number 8 Kansas. This was before, these rankings were before the new ones came out on Monday. Number 8 Kansas lost to number 13 Iowa State. Very close game here. Iowa State is sneaky good. They defend home court really well. They have a well-rounded team. Caleb Grill can get hot at any time. Any of those players on the Cyclones team, they can get hot at any time, which is huge for them for the NCAA tournament. But they struggle mightily on the road, which that can play a factor if you want to have them moving on in your bracket as well. Because neutral site, if they're playing in Des Moines, Iowa, then yeah, they can get a little home court advantage there, but it's still not a true home game, which that could be interesting there with, because they hanging around the 3-4 seed area, and there's always upsets in that 13 and 14 seeds. There's always some type of Cinderella there lying in those seeds. You just can't pick which one. If you pick which one, then you're a god. But I have picked a few of those in previous years, I will say. But yeah, Iowa State, they're a tough team when they're playing at home. And they got the best of Kansas this day. They annihilated the Jayhawks. Number 6 Virginia lost to unranked Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech is still trying to find their way into this thing, make a run at it. Started off ACC play struggling. Like they lost 7 in a row in ACC play. They were without Hunter Couture, their best shooter. He is back now, and they're kind of rolling, finding a rhythm, and a huge win over their rival on their home court, defending home court. That's huge for them to try to get things turned around. I don't think they're like in minds to make the tournament right now with that 7-game losing streak they had, unless they go on some massive winning streak here. But we'll see. Number 15 TCU lost to Oklahoma State. TCU, they're still without Mike Miles Jr., which is hurting them significantly because they're still just trying to find ways to score. Preseason Big 12 Player of the Year, Mike Miles, being without him, it's hurting Jamie Dixon's squad a lot. And if they're hoping to get him back come March, but, I mean, the injury that he had, it's going to be tough to go on a huge run. They're very talented when healthy, but TCU, they're wheeling right now without their best player. Number 25 Auburn lost on the road controversially to number 2 Tennessee. I say controversially because there was a call late in the game, as time was expiring. Auburn guy went up for the 3. I can't remember the name off the top of my head. Went up for a 3, and Tennessee big man got into his space. There was a little contact, but no call. And Tennessee escapes with a win against Auburn. Tennessee's had a lot of close calls. Actually just lost last night on a buzzer beater to Vanderbilt. So they're going to drop, and they're showing some of their flaws and playing in way too many close games for my liking, I guess, to be high on this Volunteer team. And they got away with one against Auburn. It was a very good game on Saturday. Clemson-Miami, close game to the two best teams in the ACC right now. It was number 20 versus number 23. Clemson's number 1 in the ACC. Miami is a very close second. They have the win over Clemson right now, though, which could be huge down the stretch here. Both of these teams have to go to North Carolina. I know North Carolina is kind of struggling right now and trying to find themselves, find an identity, but it's always tough to play in the Dean Dome, especially with the Bubble Boys. So, Yeah, but this game was good. Went down to the wire. Clemson had a shot with like point something left to make it a couple points margin, and just there wasn't enough time to muster up anything to get a win. And Miami ends up coming out of there with a win on Saturday, and then beats Duke on Monday night. So huge couple of days there for the Hurricanes as they're kind of riding some momentum from last year as well when they made it to the Elite Eight. The big one, big rivalry in Indiana, the basketball state, if you will, number one Purdue at number 21 Indiana, Assembly Hall, historic venue, and the Hoosiers are freaking hot right now. They upset number one Purdue. Purdue kept the top spot, though, in the AP polls. Zach Edey and Trace Jackson Davis just went at it this game. Just complete dominance from both guys, and Trace Jackson Davis and the Hoosiers, they ended up pulling out the win. Pulling up stats here for you real quick. Zach Edey just continues to add to his case for National Player of the Year and make it even more solidified, I guess. Cause, like, he's a lock right now, I think, in my opinion. They're the number one team in the country, 22-2. But he had 33 points and 18 rebounds. 15 of 19 from the field. Yeah, that's a pretty absurd stat line. And so here's Trace Jackson Davis, 25 points and 7 rebounds, 9 of 19 from the field, 5 blocks. Yeah, I mean, the Hoosiers, they weren't healthy for a period of time. They're getting healthy now, and they're rolling. They've won like 5 of their last 6. And Trace Jackson Davis is playing like one of the best players in the country. There was a period where, yeah, he was playing dominant, and then the Hoosiers fell off a little bit. Well, now they're back, and Trace Jackson Davis is playing like an All-American. And he's got the Hoosiers right in position to get a high seed in the NCAA tournament. They're second in the Big Ten right now behind Purdue. And it's going to get interesting here in the Big Ten with these two teams. They have to meet again later on here in the season, closer to March. So be on the lookout for that. Let me see if I can pull up an exact date for you real quick. That's going to be a huge game circled on my calendar, that's for sure. Saturday, February 25th is when Indiana heads to Mackey Arena for the rematch with the Boilermakers. Yeah, number one went down. It's always tough on a Saturday when you're number one heading into Assembly Hall. And unfortunately, I fell for that trap, taking Purdue money line. But we're not going to talk about that. Number 7 Kansas State lost at home to number 10 Texas. And Kansas State was controlling this game basically the whole first half. Texas came out, hit him in the mouth. And Marquez Noel, he probably had one of his worst games of the year. Not the performance a lot of people were expecting from him, especially because in the first meeting with Texas, he went for like 36, something ridiculous. Texas, the guards definitely stepped up their defense on the Bob Cousy Award watch list guard, one of the best point guards in the country right now, and Marquez Noel. And it was a great game. Big 12 is always tough. They're always close games. Texas survives on the road, splits the matchup with Kansas State, avenging their loss from earlier in the season. And then the last one, number 12 Gonzaga lost on the road to number 18 St. Mary's. Do not sleep on this St. Mary's team. This game went to overtime. St. Mary's forced overtime, and it was a thriller out on the West Coast. This could be the year that somebody else takes the top spot in the West Coast Conference. St. Mary's is really good, and they just got a head-to-head win over Gonzaga, the team that is supposed to just run through that conference. And yes, there is a rematch coming later on in the season, and I will pull that up for you as well. But it was a great game and huge for St. Mary's moving forward to continue to try and win a regular season championship here on the West Coast. They play the West Coast Conference's last game, the regular season game, Saturday, February 25th. That'll be a 10 o'clock game at Gonzaga. So be on the lookout for that. The following week, when some of the mid-major conferences, that's when they start up their conference tournament. So that's going to be when you will see the West Coast Conference is that first week of March. And yeah, there was the wild weekend that we had in college basketball. Very, very crazy. We're getting closer, guys. I am so excited. But I will not be as excited because if North Carolina does not make the tournament, because one, Ohio State's already not going to make the tournament because of the horrible run they're on, losing 9 of their last 10 games. And now North Carolina's lost 3 in a row, and including a loss to Duke, which they very easily should have won, which I'm going to talk about that for a brief second because I have two things. One, a team that shoots 18 free throws a game, only shooting 3, is pure comedy. Like, it's so comical. I'm dying laughing. I was dying laughing Saturday night that a team like this, who shoots a ton of free throws a game, only shoots 3, didn't shoot any in the second half, mind you. And what frustrates me the most, the front runner, I would say, right now, even with North Carolina's record, I don't think there's anybody else in the ACC that's better than Armando Bacot, did not take a field goal the last 12 minutes of the game. And that is one of North Carolina's biggest problems right now, is because the chemistry is off. You can tell it's off. Guys don't really know what they're doing, trying to play hero ball, force shots, and those ultimately turn into turnovers. They're not playing through their All-American big, and if you play, it's literally so simple of a plan. And I'm kind of, this is what happened in their loss to Wake as well. Well, Bacot got in foul trouble against Wake, so it hurt them anyways. But if you play through your big, then you're going to get open looks on the outside. You then have to continuously knock down those shots, so then everything opens up. It's quite simple, actually. You saw it last year with Brady Manick. He's hitting shots on the outside, so you can't really double-team Armando Bacot down low. You can, but then you're going to give up a wide-open 3 for Caleb Love, RJ Davis, or Brady Manick. And RJ Davis and Caleb Love have been incredibly poor. There's no reason why Caleb Love, like, you're not going to win any games if Caleb Love is shooting 20 or more shots and only making like 3 or 5. Like, you're simply not, because that is a ton of shots, and shots being taken away from the true best player of the team, Armando Bacot. Yes, Caleb Love, great point guard, had a ton of hype around him come into the season to try and continue to build his draft stock. I still think, at the end of the day, I still think Caleb Love can be a great NBA point guard. I mean, not great. He can find his spot on an NBA team. He's an NBA point guard 100% with what he does on the floor. He has to continue to learn to create for others. He has to quit turning the ball over and ultimately forcing up dumb shots. In the loss to Wake Forest, North Carolina went on a run, and it's always one of those runs where it gets the fans' hopes up for, oh, are we going to come back? Are we actually doing this? Where, like, they were down like 20, they were down 23 or something like that. They were getting killed by Wake Forest, and all of a sudden, North Carolina, like, you look and they're down 10. All of a sudden, they get a stop. They come down with a chance to get it under 10, single-digit lead. And what happens? No passes. And Caleb Love has the ball, does not pass, and just takes a few dribbles and steps back into a three brick. And Wake Forest goes down, scores 2 points because of a long rebound. Wake goes in transition. It was a 2-on-1. And Wake scores, and it's back to a 12-point game. Crowd's back in it, and you're dead. You're done. They fought to the death. They tried very hard to get back in the game, and they were making some ridiculous shots at the end of the game to make it interesting. Had it down to like a 5-point lead, but ultimately could not get the job done. So after the game, it took a while for the guys to come out, and Armando Bacot went right to the media and spoke. And I got a few quotes for you here. First, he told Leaky, RJ, and Caleb. He says, "I told Leak, RJ, and Caleb, we came back for a reason, and this isn't it." Which is a fact. They all came back. They went to the national championship a year ago, and they all came back to redeem what they fell short of. Just came so close to getting. They came back to make another run at it. There's still a ton of ball left. If they make the tournament and they're hot like we saw last year, anything can happen. He also said, the tweet says, Armando Bacot said he spoke to the team after the game and that he said, "If you don't want to be here, quit." Which, like, I honestly kind of love that, because you're trying to get everybody woken up. This is a crucial point of the season. It's time to wake up. We need to turn things around and get going. And here we are, beginning part of February, and they have some must-win games. Like, their strength of schedule is very tough coming up. But the wins that they've had this season, they only have one quad one win, and it's against Ohio State, who's not going to make the NCAA tournament. They're 1-6 against quad one teams, which is horrid, very bad, and they have huge wins that can help that record coming up. They have to play Clemson at home on Saturday, which is huge for them, trying to get back in the Dean Dome to try and get back going again. Playing against the number one team in the ACC right now, get a win there and start something. Then you come back on Monday and you play Miami at home, which is going to be another tough game. And then the following Sunday, you have almost a week off to prepare for your rival NC State, who is going to have bad taste in their mouth from what happened a few weeks ago in Chapel Hill when North Carolina beat them. So yes, this is a very important stretch, very tough stretch. This was probably the toughest stretch of anybody in the ACC from what they started with. They started with Pitt, then they went to Duke, then they got screwed against Pitt, they hurt themselves against Duke, and they hurt themselves against Wake. And now we're sitting here, lost three in a row, and the preseason number one team in the country is firmly on the bubble, and any more losses really could knock them out of the tournament, which is sad to see because they're not playing Carolina basketball. Their chemistry is very off. RJ Davis, I haven't seen him shoot this bad his whole career at all. He's just going through a slump right now, and hopefully now here with a few days off preparing for Clemson on Saturday, you're back home. Maybe he can find a rhythm. Same for Caleb Love. And we've been waiting for Caleb Love to explode all season long. Right now is the time to do it. Flip a switch. Turn around the season. And make it what we hoped with all these guys coming back. Like, they can still fight and crawl and somehow get like a 7. Ideally, you want to try to get a 6 seed right now, because with the ones and twos in college basketball right now, you don't want to be in that 7-10 spot or 8-9 game where you're playing a 1 or a 2 seed in the round of 32, because Purdue's a very tough, well-rounded team. Alabama's a very tough, well-rounded team. Alabama already beat North Carolina in 4 overtimes, so I don't even know if you want to count that game. Houston is very athletic, very good offensively and defensively. And who else is there? Who am I missing? Arizona. Arizona, another well-rounded team with a couple of bigs that they play different styles of basketball, and it works for Arizona. And Arizona's really freaking good. And then you got the twos. You got Kansas. You got Texas. You got Tennessee. You got UCLA. All four really good teams that have a case at making being a one seed. They could by the end of the season. So right now, you want to try to be in that. I mean, shoot, even if you get, because right now they're in the play, they could be in the play-in game playing in Dayton. So they'd be an 11 seed. If North Carolina is an 11 seed, playing a 6, and then playing a 3, I don't think these 3s, there's a difference between the 1s and 2 seeds. Or the 1s and 2s to the 3s and lower. And if you see any blue blood, North Carolina, Duke, Kentucky, which all very easily could be in that 5 to 11 seed range right now, that's going to scare a ton of teams, as we saw last year with North Carolina. They won their first round game. Then they beat Baylor, who was a 1 seed. Then they beat UCLA, another blue blood. They had St. Peter's in the Elite Eight, and then they played Duke in the Final Four, which was the greatest Final Four in the history of college basketball last year. So, yeah. Anything can happen. We are still a full month away from a bracket coming available. We have so much basketball to be played, but the way things are trending for North Carolina, they have to start to win now. And that's 100% fact. You can't afford any more losses. And with the 3 games you have coming up, these are huge momentum-building wins and resume-building wins. If you can win a couple, then you're going to be right back in tournament position. And you got the whole ACC tournament coming up. Go on a run. Get hot. Figure yourselves out. Do what you came back here for this year to do. And there you go. All right, moving on. Finishing up the show. I'm going to give you first before my Final Four prediction, because I know you're anxiously waiting for that. I'm going to give you my top 16 seeds prediction at this very moment. What like the 1 seeds, the 2 seeds, the 3 seeds, and the 4 seeds would be the top 16 overall teams in the NCAA tournament right now. The 1 seeds, I have the number 1 overall seed being Purdue. That's a given. They're ridiculously good. Then you got Houston, Alabama, and Arizona rounding up the 1 seeds. All really good teams. The 2 seeds, I got Kansas, Tennessee, Texas, and UCLA. I think we're Kansas and UCLA are locked to not go any lower, I think, than a 2 seed. Tennessee, they've had a few close calls, and they just lost to Vanderbilt, who's very bad. They could drop. I think we end up seeing Texas on that 2 line in March. So I like that. Tennessee is really the only one that could drop, though, for me. And then the 3 seeds, Virginia, which they have a very strong case at being a 2. Kansas State, I love this Kansas State team. And then we got a couple Big East teams here, Xavier and Marquette. Marquette's offense is scary with the NCAA tournament approaching. If they get hot, look out, because this team can just go through the bracket. They can hang with anybody because if they catch fire. Same with Xavier. I mean, Xavier, they don't defend well, but they're putting up north of 80 points a game. Colby Jones, Sole Boom, one of the best backcourts in the country. You got Jack Nungy. They are without Zach Fremantle right now, though, which is a concern, but it's making Sean Miller use his bench. The Xavier team with Zach Fremantle wasn't as deep. They'd go Jerome Hunter and then Desmond Claude off the bench. and now he's having to go a little deeper in case Nunchi were to get in foul trouble, in case Kunkel or Boom or Hunter or Jones get in some foul trouble, and to try and kind of relax them a little bit, conserve them a little bit. I mean, they just steamrolled through St. John's, so it's giving more opportunities to bench players, which is huge moving forward for March. Yeah, I mean, you get to March, you're only going to play like your top seven guys, which, yeah. But to in case things were to happen, in case Fremantle doesn't come back, it's good to have another guy be there, be available, to have eight just to give some guys some rest and in case foul trouble happens. Because you see that with a lot of teams in March, their best player or one of their best players gets in foul trouble and Cinderella story is happening. So, I like Xavier. I like Marquette right there on the three line. I don't think they'll go any lower than that either, unless anything drastic happens. With the only one I see drastic happening of those two would be Xavier. Then the four seeds, Iowa State. Iowa State has a strong case at making a three as well. Baylor, they just got Chamochachua back, Jonathan Chamochachua, and just big physical specimen down low, great defender, strong block shots, and they got Keontae George. The guard play is phenomenal. Adam Flagler, LJ Cryer, Keontae George. I mean, that's just a three-headed monster on the perimeter right now. I think, honestly, don't be surprised when it's all said and done, when we get a bracket. Don't be surprised if you see Baylor on that three seed, maybe even a two seed. I'm going that far to say that. St. Mary's is going to be on the four seed. They're on the line for me right now. And the way Indiana's been playing, I got Indiana on the four line. I think they're going to continue to rise. You should have bought stock when they're at their low, because when they got healthy, they were going to start playing like the team that we were all expecting before the season started to just have the Big Ten roll through Bloomington. It's running through West Lafayette, but it's still tough to go through Assembly Hall. And Trace Jackson Davis and Jalen Hood-Schifino is playing phenomenal. Just had probably the Big Ten play of the year a couple nights ago. I love this Indiana team right now. The way they're trending, they could be a scary team for March as well. So that is my top 16 seeds prediction, my one seeds through the four seeds. And now the moment you've been waiting for, my mid-season Final Four prediction. Now, yep, just a prediction. We're still 2 months away from the Final Four weekend, guys. And we know March, anything can happen. And with all the upsets that we've seen, this could be one of the craziest March Madnesses that we've ever seen. So, don't be surprised if you see one of these one seeds go down in the second weekend. I just kind of told you what I have. But I'm going to tell you, I got Purdue. I think this could be the year the Big Ten breaks the drought of the winless drought of not having a national championship. Zach Edey is just a huge difference maker. There's hardly anybody in college basketball that has somebody to stop him. He's at least 6 inches taller than everybody's center. So that's a mismatch in itself. And then the freshman play from Brandon Smith and Fletcher Lawyer, what those two have been doing for the backcourt for the Purdue Boilermakers has been phenomenal this year. Fletcher Lawyer is a killer. He just silently lets you hang around, and he'll get buckets without you knowing, if that makes any sense. But he'll make the big plays. You'll know when he's hot, when he's making the big plays, if that made any sense. But they're a well-rounded group. They defend well. And, I mean, let me pull up these rankings real quick. They're number one in offensive efficiency. Like that, you can't beat that. They're number one in offensive efficiency. They're also a really good defensive team in the top 25 at 22 right now. I love this Purdue team to make some noise in March. mean, the number one team in the country, they're going to be the number one overall seed. It's going to be tough to go against Zach Edey, and that's a 100% fact. My second team in the Final Four is the Houston Cougars. Now, yes, they go through a weaker conference than most, but this team is freakishly athletic. They defend well, and they complement it with scoring the ball well. Marcus Sasser is one of the best scorers in college basketball. I mean, they rank sixth, according to KenPom, in offensive efficiency, and then they rank seventh in defensive efficiency. If you go back to all the past national champions, over just at least over the past decade, the national champion has been in the top 10 of offensive efficiency and the top 25 of defensive efficiency. The first two I just named to you are in both. So I that's why I love both of those teams. This Houston team, they've made noise in March the past couple of years. Kelvin Sampson, the defense travels, the defense never rests. They're going to be a tough team to stop come March. My third team is Alabama. Brandon Miller, Nate Oates is doing something crazy down there. Brandon Miller, one of the best freshmen in the country. Actually, no, he is the best freshman in the country, leading all freshmen in points per game. Slightly over 18 a game, I think. And Bama, they're right there. They're ranked third in the country right now overall, but rank 18th in offensive efficiency, and they're a really good defensive team. They had their struggles early in the season defending, giving up a ton of points. They gave up 100-some to Gonzaga on a neutral site. They had the 4-overtime game with North Carolina, which they gave up over 100, but that's a given. But they rank 5th in defensive efficiency, so they're getting there. They're hitting their stride, turning the corner, and becoming a solid defensive team. Bama, they're going to be a tough out in the NCAA tournament. And then my fourth team, it meets the matrix of offensive efficiency. But, I mean, you got to have, like, kind of some – you got to have some run. Somebody making a run a lower – they're not a lower seed. I mentioned them a little bit ago. The Xavier Musketeers, I've seen this team in person. Yes, they defend horribly. They let Georgetown's point guard go for 39-11. And Georgetown is bad, very bad. But they rank 5th in offensive efficiency, 102nd though, 102nd in defensive efficiency. That's so bad, so bad. But their offense makes up for it. If they can get to the Final Four, I think, because of their guard play. Sole Boom is one of the best point guards in the country, and Colby Jones is one of the best wings in the country. You get Freemantle back with this group, I think that makes them even more dangerous. I watched Zach Freemantle go for 30 against Georgetown, 30-15 or something like that, something stupid. And Jack Nungy is one of the best bigs, especially in the Big East. I love this Xavier team. You can say it's a slightly biased pick if you want, but it's really not. They have a well-rounded group. They're well-coached. They have great guards. I think with the way that they can score the basketball, they're going to be a tough out in the NCAA tournament. And that's why I like them getting to the Final Four, getting to Houston. There you have it. My mid-season Final Four prediction. We're going to have so much more talk about this as we get closer and closer to March, breakdown of some teams, and just some more overall discussions on teams trying to find a way in, see what can happen there. But these are the teams that I like so far. You guys got it all the insight. I'm here for it. That's all I got for you guys today. I appreciate you guys tuning in. 70 episodes strong, man. So crazy. So crazy. I'm happy. I love doing this thing. I love talking hoops, even if I'm just sitting here talking to myself on a microphone. I've sat here and talked for 40-some minutes. So, love doing it. It's my passion. So, I'm just trying to find my way. 70 episodes, man. Yeah. So college basketball at its finest right now. All the drama is happening, the chaos. It's what we love about this sport. It's what makes us crazy about it. It's madness. We're getting closer to it. The music is getting louder. You can softly hear the CBS Sports music in the background. Yes, I'm excited. So excited. Well, thank you guys again for tuning in. I hope you guys have a great weekend. If I don't talk to you guys before, check out my TikTok, Twitter, whatever, Facebook for my best bets for the weekend. I'm going to have that for you on Saturday. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a great weekend of college basketball. Thanks again for tuning in. This is Beyond the Arc. We'll see you next time.